The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
That's a little Kings of Christmas for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuning in to Radio Memphis Around the World with me, Dee. And that is not an April Fool's joke. That is no fooling. And how cool is it, man? The song you just heard, Christmas Past, is from the album 365 Days. Look, and you can listen to this stuff all throughout the year. And, you know, there's a reason. Of course, you know me. I've always got a little motive, you know, behind my actions here on this show. There's a reason why we went ahead and we played that for you. Because of a particular individual who is one of the founding members of Kings of Christmas, Mr. Tony Gaynor. Now, he is also a founding member of the multi-platinum selling group Trans-Siberian Orchestra, okay? Now, he's toured, you know, for 12 years. You know, he wound up doing a lot of really, really cool things. Here's somebody who actually began his career performing in regional theaters around New York City when he was born, where he was born and raised. Now, of course, now him wanting to take his career to the next level, he wound up being accepted into American Academy of Dramatic Arts, and that's where he studied acting, voice, movement, all that cool stuff. And after finishing school, he went on to perform off-Broadway productions and actually gained his notoriety for starring in a role as far as with the gospel musical Another Chance. He actually landed roles in commercials, you know, doing stuff for various different things for TV shows. And he also wound up actually even doing stuff for a soap opera, As the World Turns. And those of you who know that, you guys know I love me some soap operas. So that was actually a real cool thing that I had learned about this particular artist. And of course, with that being said, he wound up, you know, kind of really falling into some of his place when actually the TV life had led him to star in the Fox Network special The Ghosts of Christmas Past. Now, let's fast forward. You guys know I just got done, you know, talking about and playing some stuff from an artist that is actually affiliated with the group Wizards of Winter. Well, he is also affiliated with this group, and you're going to find that Wizards of Winter has become somewhat of a super group of individuals that's really, really involved. And so this was one of the things that, you know, that kind of led us here at Radio Memphis and Radio Memphis Around the World to reach out, you know, to this particular individual, because he's got so much knowledge and he's got so many cool things that are going on. And what's even cooler is that I happen to have Mr. Tony Gaynor on the phone with me right now here in Radio Memphis. How are you doing, honey?
I'm doing good, Diane. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am fantastic. It is so cool to sit down and talk with you again. Of course, you know, we've already had the opportunity to kind of chit-chat beforehand. And, you know, I've been looking so forward to sharing you with everybody on my show, because I'm like, I don't even know where I'm going to start with him.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. You know, I was telling everybody, I kind of do things backwards, you know, and, you know, one of the things, Wizards of Winter, who's a former artist of the month for us here in Radio Memphis Around the World, was a group that really wound up cracking open a lot of things for me, okay, especially with a lot of people that are now associated with the musical act, and, you know, not just with the act in and of itself, but all the stuff that they do outside. And you've come into the fold, you know, with this particular group, and I'm starting to call it like the super group, you know, of Christmas music, you know what I mean? Because of all the people that are in, and learning about you, learning about your background, you are one of the founding members for Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And of course, we just heard some incredible music from Kings of Christmas, which is another outfit that you were able to help create. You know, and more we delve into it, we realize Tony Gaynor has quite the history, you know, quite a past as well as quite a future. And so, you know, one of the things I wanted to do is kind of sit and, you know, kind of pluck your brain, you know, to see what kind of coolness that you've got coming up. Because I know you're doing a lot of things right now.
Yes. It's been a long time dream of mine to, you know, be able to form a company and kind of give back and help artists out there that are, you know, looking for a platform, you know, who don't have necessarily, you know, the right agency representation.
Sure.
You know, I went through that as a starving actor in Hollywood and kind of watching, you know, parts that I know that I went out for, and it ended up going to a cousin or, you know, a niece or nephew of the directors or the producers or something. And,
right.
You know,
right.
I kind of got frustrated with, you know, the whole politics of Hollywood. And it was just always my dream to kind of, you know, create some stuff and just like bypass all of that and give artists an opportunity, you know, best man, best woman, best singer, best actor, you know, for the job.
Sure.
you know, so that's why, you know, it's taken me a while to get here. But, you know, Dreamland for me is that company.
Nice.
So, you know, I got a variety of things in my catalog, you know, some books, feature films, animated films, some musicals, gospel musicals. And, you know, we're going to get kicked off with a book here very soon, due out sometime this summer.
Okay.
Don't have an exact date yet, but that's kind of going to launch the whole Dreamland vision.
Okay.
And, you know, when we get started, we're going to be looking for, you know, that raw talent out there across the country, wherever they may lay.
That is find them, so fantastic.
Audition them and give them an opportunity, you know.
That is so fantastic. And, you know, and for those of you who have tuned in, I'm talking to Mr. Tony Gaynor. You were talking about, you know, business extraordinaire, you know, entrepreneur. That's one of the things I want everybody to understand about you, Tony, is that you've done so many different things. And it's funny because, you know, you and I, when we were talking on the phone the other night, you know, it's, you know, everybody might know you for one thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't realize, you know, all the things that you had to do. You know, they don't realize as far as you going through school. And then you actually, you know, your heart was kind of in acting.
Mm-hmm.
you kind of went that route. But it's funny how, you know, your path, you know, kind of formed around you, and you got one, and you wound up kind of being put in, you know, a certain place at a certain time. But along the road, not only were you acting, I mean, you were writing, you were doing stuff. Now, of course, you're doing stuff as far as off Broadway. You wind up doing, you know, a couple of things as far as, you know, musically, you know, that takes you on, you know, on the road as far as with Trans-Siberian. You wind up doing Kings of Christmas and, you know, and things like that. You know, you are also a business person, you know, and one of the things that people need to understand about you is everything that you had to have your hands in, you know, in order to do what you've got going on.
Absolutely. It's you know, this journey that I've been on, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Kings of Christmas, the Wizards of Winter, you know, all the different projects I've been involved with, you know, that originally, that was not in my plan.
No, it wasn't.
You know, I had dreams of, you know, being an actor and you know, standing on, you know, in front of the camera and accepting an Oscar for some role. And,
oh, wow.
You know, and then here, you know, God just, you know, kind of, you know, changed my path. And, you know, I was fortunate to audition for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra for the Ghost of Christmas Past. And, you know, I let them tell it. You know, I auditioned against like something like 6,000 other guys.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I was chosen. And
yeah, and you see, the funny thing about that is that, you know, for that particular audition, you know, you told me that, you know, you really didn't think it was going to go as far as it was going to go, and then you thought this was a joke that you were picked.
I really didn't. after doing the you know, the Fox special with you know, of course, featuring Jewel and Ozzie Davis and Michael Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the producer, Paul O'Neill, invited me down to his place in New York City, and we had a conversation, and he's telling me about, you know, we were very impressed with, you know, what you did on camera, and you were the only one there that wasn't a veteran of the stage, and, you know, a veteran singer, and, you know, you kind of nailed it in one take, and, you know, so he starts telling me about this idea about going on tour, you know, forming this Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and I'm sitting there looking at him. I'm like, I'm an actor. I'm thinking to myself, you want me to go on the road with a rock band, you know, long hair and guitars. And I'm thinking to myself, no.
I don't even, you know, fit in.
You know, it was just the furthest thing from my mind. And he was just like, no, you don't understand. This is going to be a family tradition. This is going to be something that your family, your children could be proud of. And once he said that, that kind of, it hooked me and got me interested, because that's what I was, you know, as far as this career, that's what I've always wanted to do, you know, create some kind of a legacy, create something, or do something that, you know, my children, my family could be proud of.
Sure.
You know, just being positive and kind of, you know, giving back and doing some type of contribution. And I accepted, and wow, what a journey it's been.
It's been a crazy journey because, I mean, you were on the front end, you know, when nobody knew anything about it and nobody knew that it existed and nobody knew, you guys had no idea how it was going to be received. And so, you know, when you guys first get out on the road with, you know, with Trans-Siberian, and we're, you know, at that time, there's only one set, you know, on one coast, and you guys are doing the deal. I mean, what's going through your head when you're out there going, is anybody going to buy this? You know, I mean, what's going through your head?
You know, we of course, we started out in theaters. A few of them, well, a lot of them, I should say, were some of the worst theaters, just a hole in the wall. And, you know, all these people would show up and were like, well, just, you know, how is this even possible?
Wow.
You know, and of course, we'd see some people getting up. They thought it was a Russian, some type of Russian orchestra. So once, you know, the curtains opened and the lights came up and they saw, you know, these guys with this long hair and guitars, you know, they were getting up and kind of walking out. But it you know, the response after the shows were just overwhelming. I mean, it was, I can remember one of the shows that we did, one of the first shows we did in Texas, and you know, my God, they rushed the stage, and we were just like, what is this?
Oh,
you would have thought we were
my.
The Beatles or something.
Oh,
incredible.
My God. Wow. and you're running for cover, going, you didn't tell me they were going to do this.
I tell you, it was just, and I would have never in my wildest imagination thought I'd be put in that kind of position, you know?
Well, that says a lot, you know, that says a lot about the directors and the people that sat you down in the beginning and had a vision for you, which speaks volumes, you know, Tony, of your talent. And you wind up, you know, you wind up really, really kind of honing in, you know, on some of that. You wind up going on tour with TSO, you know, for the better part of 12 years, you know, and, you know, after taking a break, you actually, you know, you wound up, you know, teaming up with some of the, you know, some other former members of TSO, and you wind up doing Kings of Christmas. And, you know, Kings of Christmas is also kind of got a special thing for you, too. The music and everybody that's just tuned in, you know, you heard some right here on Radio Memphis. You know, the beautiful thing about what we were just listening to is that, you know, you, and you explained it to me, you know, it's you know, 365 days. This is something that is not just for the holidays. It was something that you can listen to all throughout the year and be inspired by.
Yes. That's why we named it 365 days, because that's the way we felt when we sat down and we listened to the finished product. You know, we said, yeah, there's Christmas mentioned in most of the songs, all the songs actually. But you know, you can, if you sit and you listen to this album, I mean, there is something on here for everybody, and you can listen to it year round. And you know, of course, you know, the listeners heard "Christmas Past," which you know it features Guy Lemonnier, who also, you know, original member of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And
sure.
Just, you know, even to this day. Just sitting here listening while it was on hold, and you know, I listened to Guy's voice. I mean, I've been in awe of his voice since the first day I met him many, many years ago. I mean, he has such a stage presence, such an incredible voice.
It's magical.
Guy just, you know, he just commands the stage, and you know, he's featured on a lot of the tracks of the Kings of Christmas, and you know, that the idea for the Kings of Christmas originally started with us just, you know, being on tour in the back of the tour bus and kind of talking about, you know, well, not just Christmas, you know, why do we only have to get together when we do Trans-Siberian Orchestra? You know, we need to come up with some other projects, and, you know, because we just loved working with each other so much.
How cool.
And, you know, it took a long time, but years later, when we kind of separated from TSO, you know, we got together again. I never forget, I took a flight down to L.A. to beg Guy, to beg him to come back to New York. I think, forget about Hollywood. Come back to New York, man, you know.
What'd you have to bait him with?
I took him out to a sushi bar, you know, bought him some cocktails.
Awesome.
We had such a great time.
Good deal.
And I said, don't you miss this, man. Come on, you got to come back to New York. There's nothing out here. Come on.
And that's the deal. So you finally convince him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you guys wind up working out that deal. And there's still some plans, you know, as far as now the deals, as far as with Kings of Christmas. The beautiful thing is that everybody's involvement with now Wizards of Winter. Yes. And, you know, what's really funny for me about the Wizards of Winter is that, you've got yourself, you've got Greg Smith, you've got Fred Gorhaw, you know, everybody, you know, it's, and I honestly mean when I say this, it's like a little mini super group, you know, that's kind of formed, you know, under this particular hat. And, you know, and I know that when you and I spoke the other night, that one of your plans was also to kind of somewhat infuse some of the Kings of Christmas, you know, since you've got you and Guy, you know, that's already as far as that particular project, and infuse it with Wizards, you know, and mm-hmm. come up with somewhat of a project. And this is that part where everything kind of mushrooms out into all of your, you know, your plans of world domination, where you've got your company Dreamland that you're pulling in, and then you're trying to present some Broadway moments, and you're trying to present some opportunities, you know, for newfound talent, and you know, your arms, you know, and they're like spiders, man. They're going everywhere. Octopuses, they're going, they're grabbing, and they're reaching, you know, and they're, you know, you're trying to take it all in. And, you know, was this always kind of a big master plan for you, or is this something that it just kind of grew, and then all of a sudden you've let it kind of give its own life and go?
Well, the vision for Dreamland was always at the back of my mind.
Sure.
You know, I being frustrated in Hollywood, I can remember, you know, one day sitting down and kind of writing this whole thing out about, you know, one day having that company. I wrote George Lucas a letter.
Okay. All right.
While I was sitting in my living room, because I had this vision of like just creating, you know, my own material. And forget about going to networks and television. You know, I wanted to some way, you know, where you can get it on the computer and you can mm-hmm. just, you know, bypass it. You can get some kind of membership and just, you know, see it on the computer. And, you know, back then people were still doing editing by with razor blades. And, you
oh,
know,
wow.
George Lucas had created this, you know, this the first digital editing machine, the linear editing machine.
Sure.
And, you know, I wrote him a letter to find out, you know, how could I get one of them? You know,
wow.
to kind of put together my plan, do my own, you know, my own thing. And then years later, ultimately, that vision actually turned into like Netflix. And I said to myself, man, I missed the ball on that. You know, that could have been me at the helm.
You know, I had the idea. I was there. Nobody seems to know, but I was there.
Yeah, you know, I had that idea like 5 years before Netflix was even heard of, before they was, you know, doing video through the mail. And, you know, I kind of dropped the ball, but, you know, since I've gotten back on track, and, you know, it wasn't a master plan, but, you know, sometimes you just have to use what you have around you. And I'm surrounded by such talent and such, you know, such wonderful people and artists that just, you know, that are just striving to be just the best. And, you know, sometimes you just have to, you know, visualize it and then, you know, see these things and just use what you can, you know, to take it further. And that's, you know, that's how this has kind of, you know, come about.
Ah, I see. And so the master plan is in effect. You actually kind of have one. You know that, right?
A little bit, yeah.
You were being so cool and so humble about it. I'm just wanting to let you know. Yeah, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful plan and a beautiful idea. Now, you know, for you, growing up, and you know, because I like to go back and forth, and you know, it's like I'm like the Matrix when I do an interview. You know, it's like, you know, we'll go back mm-hmm. and then we'll come forward and then we'll go back. Growing up for you, you know, how did you know that you even wanted to, you know, be in entertainment? How did you know that you wanted to be a performer?
I think actually I can remember the moment when it kind of just jumped at me. It was actually two moments. I was in military school.
Oh, okay.
And I must have been in maybe the sixth or seventh grade, and we had to do a play for Treasure Island.
Oh, wow.
And I was assigned Captain Smollett.
Oh, how funny.
And, you know, we did the class play, and, you know, at the end of it, you know, they announced me, and the parents and the visitors there, you know, were, you know, stood up and were clapping, and I said to myself, man, you know, this is kind of nice, you know. So after leaving military school, I went back to school in New York, and I had this class in high school, and we had this assignment to, you know, they were teaching job training. So we, we were doing this mock interview.
Okay.
And I was chosen as the interviewer, and I'm interviewing the person for the job. And the person that the teacher chose was, it was a young lady who, you know, she kind of was out there, you know, she was high spirited, you know, and, you know, she was a funny girl.
Okay.
You know, wasn't the best student, but, you know, we did the little scene, and she, you know, she comes in and I sit her down, and I took it like it was a real interview, and she kind of got focused, sat there, and we went through this whole thing, and the class was quiet and everything. And,
oh, wow.
Afterwards, when the class was over, the teacher asked me to stay behind, and it turned out that he was a struggling actor. He was a teacher, and he was doing extra work, and he said, man, you know what? You need to look into a career.
Oh, wow.
In entertainment, acting. And I said to myself, really? And the next day, the guy brings me a book called The Ross Report. I don't know if it's still around, but, you know, The Ross Report used to be this little manual for actors where it had, you know, agents and managers and casting and stuff like that.
Oh,
he gave it to me and said,
how crazy.
You need to pursue a career in entertainment.
And he was hell-bent that you took that book and that you do it.
Yes, yes.
So you took the book.
I took the book, and I think that was when, I think probably the next week, I started searching out acting classes around New York City.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, this is look, and those of you who have tuned in, I'm talking to Mr. Tony Gaynor, and I'm trying to figure out at what point, you know, he jumps in. And you've never done this, you know, aside from, you know, class play and, you know, an interview at school and, you know, and getting involved in some of the school stuff. So he can hand you this book, and then you go out into the world and go, okay, I'm going to use the book. And, you know, how is it that you knew, you know, as far as, you know, you were reaching out for acting classes and things like that. You know, what were you using as far as, you know, mentorship, and what were you using as far as knowing that this is what you needed to do, and how were you able to validate, you know, some of your choices?
Well, a lot of it, I was kind of on my own in the very beginning.
Right.
You know, I traveled through New York City with a knapsack on with my headshots and my resumes in there. And,
wow.
You know, I would just walk into a casting place and just drop off the headshot and resume. And that, you know, at the time I didn't know that that's a no-no, you know. You're not supposed to come into an office, you know. So pretty much, I guess, my headshots and resumes ended up in the garbage.
Wow.
You know, but, you know, soon after that, I kind of, after doing some workshops in class, I would, you know, I got to know other actors and people who had been doing stuff. And that's when I realized, you know, sometimes you have to surround yourself with other people who, you know, they've been doing this and they know the business. And,
sure.
You know, don't think that you know everything. You know, you need to sit back and observe and learn from people that are doing it. And, you know, pretty much that's what I did. I kind of sat back and I rode with people that, you know, this is what they have been doing for years. And I listened and I did what they did. And, you know, I tried to stay away from negative people. And just surround myself with positive people. And I adapted that, the attitude that, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do what I need to do. You know, I'm not going to think about it.
Sure.
I'm going to do it. And that's how it started.
That's fantastic. And see, that right there, you know, that right there says it all for me. You know, when you put it in that stance. So you wind up going to school. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, where'd you wind up going to school at?
I did a couple of small places around New York until I auditioned for American Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent, I did a workshop program there. And then, you know, what happens is you come there and then you perform, and they will send you an acceptance letter. So you sit and you wait to see if you are invited.
Oh, wow.
You know, if you're good enough, you're invited to come to attend the school. And I did. I got one, and I attended the school. And
how long did it take you to get the letter?
It took about, I think it took about 2 weeks.
And for the 2 weeks, what did you do?
I don't think I had any nails left. I was biting my nails.
You were a wreck.
I was on my knees praying.
Awesome.
And,
so you get the letter, and when you see the letter, what do you do?
I fell out on my bed and said, my God, this is it. Like, you know, it starts from here.
Oh, you know? That's the moment where you knew it started.
Yeah, and the first thing I did was tell my mother. I said, "Ma, they accepted me. I'm in. Oh. I'm in." You know, of course, my mother was just my mother's always the supportive one.
Sure.
You know, my father used to tell me, you know, he was one to be like, "Listen, you need to get security. You need a
city job, and you need to make sure that you get this, and you need paperwork, and you know, and just, you know, quit this dreaming stuff, you know."
Yeah. Exactly. Quit the dreaming stuff. It's something we can use, you know.
But, I have a Bronx dad too. I know. I got it. So you get the letter.
You know what? The first time he saw me on television, my dad, he changed his mind, and I think he walked around with a videotape of whatever that performance was.
Of course he did.
Everybody.
Of course he did. And he told everybody that he gave birth to you, even though your mom was more involved in that process than he was. But he was, that's my son. He did this because he came from me, and this is why he made it. And I get it. And he,
absolutely.
And you know, you let him have every moment of that because
that
made it for him. Absolutely, man. So you get to go through school and stuff. And so what would you consider, Tony, what would you consider your first big break? You know that it's your big break. What would you consider that?
I would probably say it was the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Okay.
That was Fox special. That was, you know, I was surrounded by, like I said, Michael Crawford, Jewel, you know, the late, great Ozzie Davis.
Wow.
Awe of him and Ruby Dee, you know, to meet him and to share a scene with him. I think that was it for me. That was when it solidified that, you know, I'm here and I'm supposed to be here, and I need to get focused and take this somewhere.
That is incredible stuff. And ultimately, you know, that was the doorway that led you, you know, as we come back around and you do the rock, you know, the Christmas operas and, you know, and everything else. And it widened your mind. You know, did you ever really think, you know, Tony, did you ever really think that you would be responsible for sitting down and actually, you know, co-writing, you know, these operas and Christmas, programs and songs and things like that? I mean, was that something that was ever in your pocket, in your mind going, I'm going to do that? You know,
absolutely not. Absolutely not. I was focused on being an actor, and that was it. But you know, in life, you know, sometimes, you know, God has a different plan for your life, has a different path. And you know, I always tell people, you know, I am you know, this is a job for me, but I consider myself, I'm a servant first, you know. And and I guess, you know, that job that's been placed on me is to do entertainment, do positive entertainment, you know, to try to make a difference, to try to change lives in any way that I can.
Perfect.
And, you know, don't make any mistake about it. Entertainment, it changes people's lives, you know, wow. Whether you cry, whether you laugh, you know, people use it to get away from problems, but entertainment, this medium is a powerful, powerful tool.
It is.
And I recognize that from, you know, from the very beginning. You know, there are people that, you know, would come up after shows and say, my God, like, you know, when I came here, you know, I thought about, you know, doing something drastic, but, you know, I'm leaving here now with hope. And, you know, that is a powerful thing. You know, there are people that have come to me and said, my God, you know, I haven't spoken to my brother or sister in 10 years over an argument. And I'm going home right now to call them. That's something powerful.
That's huge.
Know?
That just
some
gave
people
me
are meant
bumps.
To create things. Some people are made to build things. Politicians, you know, can change, you know, people's lives with laws and things of that nature. But entertainment is just as powerful as anything else.
You're so correct. And you know what's so funny is that you talk about being placed in a certain path. Did you ever think it was going to come in a form of long-haired rockers?
No, that was not in my game.
That was such a test for you, Tony, because you sure could have like just turned around going, okay, these are not my people.
I mind you, I was the only the only brother there.
And you know, and that was even the most more beautiful thing that it made it work so much. It was like, okay, you want me to hang out with these guys, and you want us to sing about Christmas, and you want us to go on tour and leap around the stage and make this work and put, you know, put the Christmas spirit into people's bodies through heavy metal guitars.
And you
said yes.
And I said yes.
I love it.
I said yes. I guess I seem to take the hard road sometimes, and kind of, you know, let's see where it goes. You know, a lot of people, you know, I know people in my life that say, you know what, I hate getting lost. I love getting lost, because I come across a road, and if I ever come across again, I say, hey, you know what, I was here before. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how you learn different ways of getting to a destination. So, sometimes you just got to take those chances. You got to take a leap of faith. You know, that's my favorite word, faith.
Faith is a good word.
Everything, I think, surrounds around faith. If you have faith, man, you can do anything, because I have done some things in my life that if it wasn't for my faith, man, I wouldn't be here right now.
There'd be no way. Out of curiosity, through this entire crazy, crazy cool journey that you've been on so far, and you're not even close to being done. You're getting started actually on a new journey. But so far up until this point, who would you say in the entertainment, you know, business, right? Who would you say was probably one, you know, somebody that's very impactful to you, you know, and very, very, as a mentor, you know, to you, you know, be it whatever, you know, even if it's, you know, somebody that you read about or whatever, who's very impactful, you know, in your world?
I would say, you know what, I would have to say, I always root for the underdog.
Okay.
I look at cases like, I look at people and I look at what their journey has been.
Cool.
So, when you ask me that question, I think a couple of people, I mean, I've had some people personally that I know that have impacted my life as far as that, but in the entertainment business that I've seen people who fit that category, I would say one would probably be Robert Downey Jr.
Wow.
I would say Samuel Jackson.
Nice.
You know, because I look at their journey.
Wow.
A lot of people look at this entertainment business and they look at singers and actors and performers and they say, you know, they only look at the glitz and the glamour.
Correct.
But, you know, there's a saying in the church that says, you know, you know my glory, but you don't know my story.
There it is.
You know, these guys have stories. I mean, I remember Robert Downey Jr. This is a guy who, you know, had a horrible drug addiction, you know, was placed in jail. He chose to go to maximum security prison. You know, instead of, you know, going to the light prison, to the you know, the day spa,
sure.
You know, just because he could score drugs in maximum security prison.
There it is.
And you know, he took a chance with his life just for that reason. But then, you know, the guy cleans himself up, gets out, and now, you know, he's an A-list actor.
Again.
You know, he's become a role model. Samuel Jackson. You know, I remember working, you know, Samuel in the Negro Ensemble Theater. You know, I remember when he was fired from his first job because he showed up high, you know, crack. But this man, he cleaned himself up. He beat his drug addiction. He beat those demons. And then, you know, this man, he's the hardest working man probably in film.
And he's, you know, quite so talented.
Yeah. So for me, that says something. I look at a person's journey.
That's
where they came from and where they're at now.
That is such a beautiful way to look at it. That is such a fantastic way to look at it. You know, on the off subject, you know, just about you, you do so many different things. And a lot of people understand that, you know, you are involved as far as in the industry. And, of course, you're involved in these incredible groups. And, you know, and you're a writer and you're a producer and you've got Dreamland. What they don't know is that this is coming from the city of Memphis, that apparently I understand you know about some of the coolest soul food on the planet. And, you know, that takes a look, that takes a lot for us down here to say that. But I have gotten word. I've actually gotten word that you've got some of the best fried chicken. You've got some of the best deals, and that you, and this was actually another entrepreneurial idea that you had, you know, that you wanted to bring to New York, you know, in New Jersey. And you wind up, you know, finagling, you know, this complete, you know, process, and you come up with something.
Yeah, this it was. I own a couple of soul food restaurants in both Pennsylvania and New Jersey. It was another long time dream of mine. I had this dream way back when in New York when I lived there, in Brooklyn. And you know, when I separated with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, you know, things have been going well for so long that I'd gotten a little bit complacent. You know, but when I separated with them, you know, I realized, you know, I said to myself, I could either sit here and feel sorry, you know, I could start, you know, pick myself up and just start pursuing my visions and my dreams. You know, because after being with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra so long, like I said, I had gotten complacent and I was kicking myself because, you know, I hadn't been performing anywhere else. I hadn't been doing, you know, the acting as much anymore.
Right, right.
And, you know, so I kind of went back to that dream and I said, you know what? From here on out, I'm not going to let anything stop me. I'm going to do whatever it is I need to do. And I said, I pulled, you know, my old ideas out about the restaurant.
Okay.
And I got to work, came up with a business plan. And now, mind you, no capital. No.
and that's what I'm trying to, make everybody hear this.
The riskiest business that there is, a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I mean, they say, you know, what is it, 90-something percent of the restaurants fail within the first year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I go to my bank and I talk to my banker, the bank manager I've known for a long time, and I present my idea, my business plan, and, you know, immediately it turned me down.
It's like, no.
You know what? I'm not going to let this stop me. So, you know, I begged, borrowed, steal. I sold off things, sold toys, and, I made it happen, you know.
Wow.
Contractors said just to do construction on this place was $90,000. Well, me and my brother and two other guys grabbed some hammers. I ordered the materials from Home Depot, and we got in 6 weeks, and we built the place ourselves and saved $50,000.
That's, you know, what I'm screaming, right?
You know, when I opened the place, you know, I didn't even have, you know, the capital left to get food. You know, so I got the first order on spec, you know, and the bill due in 7 days, $3,000. Well, in 7 days, they got their $3,000 and never missed a payroll either, and then opened up a second location,
wow,
you know, within a year, you know. Big
Mama
Soul Food.
I'm gonna tell you what,
Big
man. That takes a lot of heart, man, and a lot of oomph, man, to name it that and back it up. That is some fantastic. I love it. I absolutely love it. That's such a beautiful thing, and that right there says a lot about you. You know what I mean? As far as all the things that you've always, tried to put together, you know, and try to make happen. And yet there's yet one other thing that you're stepping into. One other thing that you also take care of, and a lot of people don't. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know. You know, if you had one more thing, you know, Tony, that you were going to add to your plate, what would that be? Yeah, I didn't ask you this.
I understand that, you know, we're in need for a good president. I mean, the choice is as of late.
You know, there's so many different things. I mean, you're one of those people that sits down and goes, okay, I'm going to do this, you know, this is what I'm going to do. What is going to be your biggest, you know, your biggest focus, you know, for this year? I mean, Dreamland, you know, you've got your stuff that you're trying to put together. We'll use that as an example. You know, one of the things also too, is that you're going to be searching out talent. Have you thought about the process and how you're going to do that?
Yes. I envision that, right about the time when the book comes out, I want to take a small crew, and I want to, you know, of course, do a book signings and promoting the book. But I want to visit select cities around the country, and
okay,
I want to have some open auditions, and I want to meet people in the cities, in the churches, and, you know, in the schools, and audition them and see what they've got. You know, I want to find that raw talent. I want to offer opportunities to people that, you know, they wouldn't necessarily otherwise have.
Wow. And so you're going to get out there, out front and personal and look at them in the eye and go, yeah, you're it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see that, yes. that right there means a ton, means a lot. I know that I want to thank you, you know, so much for taking some time and some opportunity. I'm expecting a lot of crazy cool things, you know, coming from you from this year. And as I told you on the phone the other night, you know, we're going to be catching up with each other, you know, because you've got way too many things going on right now for me not to keep up with you. And you're stepping in way too much, you know. Now, the book, let's go back to that for a second. You want to tell everybody as far as, you know, what's coming out and what they're looking forward to when you're talking about the book you've got coming.
Well, the book is it's called Black Butterfly.
Okay.
You know, how I climbed to fame and rose to victory. Basically, it's centered around the main character, whose name is Carlton Jones. They call him CJ.
Okay.
And he was, you know, early influence was his hero, his father. And his father kind of introduced him to music at a young age.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, he winds up witnessing the death of his father. And so his mother, you know, kind of packs the family up to, you know, get away from the big city, away from New York, and moves them back down south to, you know, where she grew up.
Okay.
And, you know, he just, you know, his dream is to just have millions of people love him for his music. And, you know, he stops at nothing, you know, to fulfill that dream.
Wow.
And, you know, he ends up kind of spiraling out of control, and he learns some pretty huge lessons, you know. He learns that, you know, the benefit of having not only strong women in his life, but having, you know, a community behind him. And he realizes that, you know, this dream and this thing that he was chasing all along, you know, he already had at his feet. He was already there. You know, so, and it's a very inspirational story. You know,
that kind of hits close to home for you.
Mm-hmm.
that's just giving me chill bumps. That hits close home to you. That's good.
Again, it's about faith. You know, it's about faith, and you know, I tell you, that's my favorite word, faith. So, you know, this is a story I think a lot of people, especially parents who have kids that are, you know, interested in this crazy, crazy business.
Yeah.
You know, this book was kind of inspired by the death of, you know, a lot of our greats, you know, Prince, Whitney Houston, you know, people of that nature who, you know, these were iconic figures.
Absolutely.
And for whatever reason, you know, were kind of blown off their path with some form of substance abuse or,
sure,
or something of that nature. So, you know, it was kind of inspired by that.
I gotcha. And it's much needed. It's much needed, you know, to have, you know, the positive aspects, you know, as far as, you know, being able to put the spin on it and what to look for and what to look to, you know, mm-hmm, on something like that. You know, so you've got the book. When's that coming out?
It will be out this summer. I don't have the exact date yet, but it is due this summer, 2017, probably towards the end of the summer.
Okay. I'll be looking forward to seeing that, because I'm definitely going to have to take a look and read that. If anybody was going to try to hunt you down and keep up with you and your crazy world and what you got going on, is there a place that everybody can find you?
Absolutely. You can go on the web, dreamlandentertainment.net.
Okay. Dreamlandentertainment.net. See, I'm even writing it down. Because, you know, I'm gonna go scope it out, man. I'm going to go stalk you, because that's what I do.
And I encourage people, too. There's a contact thing on there where, you know, you can leave messages and stuff. Well, you know what? If you know somebody who is hungry, who wants to kind of get into this crazy business, who's a raw talent, who's the sing, act, whatever that it may be, you know, leave your email on there. Send your email. You know, give us an option to, you know, a way to reach out to you and kind of get in touch with those people, you know, so we could visit them in the future and see, you know, what we have to offer.
That is so fantastic. What a great, great, great plan. What a fantastic opportunity. And I love the fact that you've dove in to make that happen. You know, I've enjoyed you so much. I've enjoyed, you know, the friendship that we've developed and learning about you, because, you know, you've given me a little inspiration, you know, even on my own stuff, you know, to look forward to. And I can't thank you enough for that, Tony.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I appreciate that. That's always encouraging.
Good. Good.
You know, this has been quite a journey, and I really do appreciate any help that I can get, and it's for you for providing the format to get that message out there.
Absolutely.
Vision out there, and I really appreciate that. We got to do it again.
We're going to do it again. Don't you worry, honey. I'm not letting you off the hook that easy. We're going to do it again. Well, listen, thank you so much for taking your time out this afternoon to share some moments with us right here on Radio Memphis Around the World. And you and I, you know, we will be catching up again very, very, very soon, okay? If you need anything, you got anything coming up or just questions or whatever, you just want to chit-chat, man, you let me know. You know how to get in touch with me, okay?
Absolutely. If I may, if I have one more minute, I'd like to just leave a little message with all your listeners out there.
Sure.
I just want to say I know a lot of people out there have visions, have dreams. You don't know quite, how to go about them. I'm going to tell you, take it from somebody who knows. It doesn't have to be the entertainment business. It could be any dream that there is. You know, don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. You know, don't think about it.
Nice.
Just do it. You don't have to do it exactly the way I did it, but, you know, just do it. Find a way and do it. Do not lay down for anybody. You know, and just believe. Have faith.
Love it.
And that's it.
I needed to hear that. I needed that. All right. Thank you so much, honey. You enjoy your afternoon, okay? You give me a call or give me a holler when you get the next chance to, okay?
Okay, yeah, I got to run back to the restaurant and cook some chicken.
Well, you know what? Man, see, now I'm hungry. You tell everybody there that we here at Radio Memphis said hey.
All right.
All right, we'll talk soon, honey.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. All right, you guys heard Mr. Tony Gaynor right here on Radio Memphis Around the World. What a very inspirational person. And, you know, and it was funny because one of the things I've enjoyed most and what I wanted to share with everybody here is that the journey that he's been on and all the different things that he's done, and ultimately that one path that he thought that he was actually created for actually led him to another, which just opened up his world. So, you know, it's keep up with him, you know, keep up with what he's got going on. And you heard it here first, man. He's got opportunities that he's trying to reach back, you know, and bring newfound talent. So we're definitely going to be keeping up with him here on Radio Memphis. In the meantime, again, I know it's April 1st. April Fool's not fooling. How about another Kings of Christmas song? Here's a little sleigh ride, because why? 365 days means you can listen to it all the time right here.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved, and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.